I tell you, it's good to be here this morning. Those of you who are joining us by live stream, you just don't know. That's all I'm gonna say. You just don't know. You just don't know. We greet you this morning with Jesus' joy, and we're certainly grateful and thankful that God has blessed us to be back together on another Tuesday morning for Bible study. As we are continuing our study through the book of Numbers, as we are discussing those standards of service. And we are picking up with chapter 14. I'm going to go a little bit further this morning with that word. And of course, we are grateful to have these in the sanctuary with us. And those of you who are joining us across all of our social media sites, as well as the St. James webcast channel, we say good morning to you. Let me say this as we get ready to dive in. To those of you who are joining us live, do know that through the avails of technology, if you have any questions that you want to ask during the course of our study this morning, just drop them in the comment section. We can see your questions. We can see your comments during the course of study, and we will stop and be found answering your questions to the best of our ability. So definitely wanted to make that known. We didn't say that last week, but that's the purpose of having the live class, to make it as interactive as possible, not only with those that are here, but especially those who are part of Church Beyond Walls, to allow them to be interactive and to interact with us as we study the Word of God. Let's take a moment. Let's pray together. Let's invite God's power, God's presence among us as we walk through His Word together. Gracious God, our kind and heavenly Father, before we ask you for anything, we want to take a moment to say thank you. Thank you for everything, God. Thank you for waking us up this morning. Thank you for starting us on our way. Thank you for life. Thank you for health. Thank you for strength. Thank you for your goodness, your grace, and your mercy toward us. Now, God, as we prepare to walk through your word, I pray now that you would speak to us, speak through us. Give us clarity of speech and clarity of thought, that we will rightly divide your word to your people. We say thank you for this chance. Thank you for every chance that you give us. In the name of Jesus, we pray and we praise, and the people of God did declare amen. People of God, I tell you, what a powerful time we had to share last week as we looked at those first 10 verses of Numbers chapter 14. You remember last week, we picked up and found the nation of Israel mumbling. We found the nation of Israel grumbling. Out of all of God's goodness, out of everything that he has done, they are now grumbling. We find them grumbling. What were they grumbling about? They were grumbling because the 12 spies returned with a report. And you all remember we talked about how the 12 spies were split by a vote of 10 to 2. The 10 said that we can't take it. The 2 said if God is with us, we can take it. And remember we said last week that oftentimes we got to remember it's all in how we perceive things. It's all in our perception of things. We talked about how they all agreed that the land flowed with milk and honey. The land was bountiful. They all agreed. All 12 spies agreed to that. But the problem was they had some inhabitants in the land. Y'all remember we talked about that last week? And remember I shared with you last week that it was their view of the inhabitants that caused them to feel like they could not take the promised land. Remember, I shared with you last week, I told you last week that nowhere in scripture do we see anything stated by those who were already in the land. They said, to us, they look like giants, and to them, we look like grasshoppers. They didn't even say anything. This was all what they thought of themselves. And did I not tell you, if I didn't tell you, I know I told Tuesday evening's class that we've got to be also careful of what we think of ourselves in comparison to the God that we serve. The inhabitants said nothing, not one thing. This was all, watch this, God's chosen people who had already seen God's hand of mercy in their lives, and now they still don't believe. Can we make it live this morning? How many times have we seen God do one thing or another in our lives or in someone else's life, and we still don't believe? Amen? We talked about that last week. We talked about making sure that we are consecrated before we complain. Make sure that you seek the hand of God, the will of God, before you want to fall into a trap of complaining about how bad things are. Because can we all agree it's so easy to complain? Amen. It's so easy to talk about what's wrong. It's so easy to talk about how things are going. But when we take a level of faith and basically say, okay, if God got us this far, then surely he's going to take us the rest of the way. I mean, think about this, y'all. Let's do a quick recap of what we have studied thus far. When it talks about the nation of Israel, think about how many times we've seen God step in for them. Think about it. They were in slavery, right? Because their adversaries were afraid of their influence. It was too many of them. We need to get them under control. Go all the way back to Exodus chapter 1. We need to get them under control. Because if we don't get them under control, they will rise up against some of our allies and take us out. Was that not Pharaoh's discussion? They entered into slavery because they did not trust God. They entered into slavery because they were disobedient to God. Everything God had done for them, what did they do? They turned on God, which is one of the reasons why they are where they are right now. They turned on God. Mm-hmm. They turned on him. They got to the banks of the Red Sea. What did they do? They complained. If you had left us in Egypt, it's all right. It won't catch you. It's all right. It's all right. I keep telling y'all, y'all got to pray for me. It's this live class. Y'all got to pray for me. If they had left us in Egypt, if Moses had left us alone, we would have at least had a decent burial. What? You more concerned about your funeral than you are living? Does it make sense? Are we seeing that even in today's day and time? Got them across the Red Sea, right? Got in the wilderness. And what happened? They turned on God again. Mm-hmm. God is providing. God is protecting. God is making things happen. All they had to do, remember the situation with the manna? Remember that? All they had to do was go out and get enough for that day. Isn't that what God said? And what did they do? Some of them jokers got greedy. And God had already told them, if you get more than what you need for that day, what you got extra is going to rot immediately. And it did. You know, does it make sense? You know, just greedy. That's it. Just greedy. That's it. Absolutely. Absolutely. And it may not necessarily be the fear of the unknown, Butch. It could also be the fear of relinquishing control. Think about it. Let me make it live for us real quick. We are fine as long as we know what's going to happen next. Think about it. As long as I know what's going to happen next, I'm all right. It's those moments that I don't know that really started to test my spirit. It tests my faith. It tests my will. Or watch this. Let me take it a step further. It might be also the fact that we are in a place of discomfort. You want to find out how much faith you got? Trust God when you can't see it. Come on, Abraham, help me out. Help me out, Abraham. Abraham's prime example. How many of us could be like Abraham when God told him, pack up, leave your father's country, leave your homeland,
and start traveling. Watch it. It's right there in Genesis 12. And you won't know where you're going until I tell you to stop. Come on, think about it. It's right there in Genesis chapter 12. And the Bible says Abraham did exactly what God said. That's one of the reasons why he's identified as one of the fathers of the faith. Because, y'all, true faith is modeled by obedience. Absolutely. Among other things, faith can be tested by fear, and it's really not so much fear as it is your reaction to the fear. Can I take us back about 5 years? About this time 5 years ago, we started hearing about a sickness. We didn't think nothing of it at first. We really didn't. We didn't think nothing of it. You know, it's going to come, it's going to go. But then about March of 2020, come on now, come on, reality sets in. Now all of a sudden, they're telling us we can't go out. And if you go out, put a mask on. It started testing us right then. Oh, it gets better. Watch this now. Now all of a sudden, folks who were feeling fine one day are now deathly sick to the point hospitals ran out of beds. Come on. All of a sudden, funeral homes were busy because people were leaving here left and right. What was our faith not tested? Was our faith not tested? They said that if you had a compromised immune system, you were at greater risk than others. Now watch this. Now let me bring it back to the lesson. I'm going to make it live. Because now here's where the children of Israel come in. Because there were some folks who heard all of those reports, saw everything that was taking place, and what did they do? They went out like, okay, ain't nothing wrong. You know, governor told us to limit our gatherings to 10. Oh, man, that hurt some of us. That hurt church folk. Amen. It did. It hurt church folk. I can't go to church. And some of them still ain't been back, but that's another conversation for another day. 5 years ago. Now, fast forward 5 years. You still here. God kept you. Some of you in this room, some of you watching me by live stream, you contracted the disease, but you live to tell the story. What should that have done? It should have built up your faith to say, if God be for me, come on now. When he says that he will not let anything come near your dwelling, when he says that he is the God that healeth thee, amen, you live to tell the story. You know, that breathing was so hard, you didn't think you were going to make it. And I tell folks all the time, I'm convinced I had COVID before we knew there was a COVID. Amen. Because that December before we found out, I was knocked down. And really, it hit me so hard that New Year's Eve, I thought I wasn't going to even be able to get up and come to church that night. And God, with his good self, thank you, Lord. Amen. There is a level of faith, and your faith is going to be tested. Which gives me a good time to say to some folks, please don't think that because you have faith, you are free from test. Amen. That's a real word right there. All those who live godly, the Bible says, are going to suffer some persecution. You're going to go through something. But it's a matter of, I believe, Butch, it's a matter of knowing not only who you are, but please make sure you never forget whose you are. Why? With him leading you, come on, children of Israel, As long as he led them, they were fine. It was when he led them into moments of discomfort that they had problems with it. And can we all agree that, truth be told, we all can deal with the same issue? That sometimes God will lead us down a path that don't feel so comfortable. And we still got to learn how to trust him. Does it make sense? It does. So we see here that these folks were complaining, grumbling, crying, moaning, all of that in those first 10 verses. The same God that dealt with their enemies, they're now turning on. The same God that covered them when he sent those plagues to the Egyptians, now they're now turning on him, right? So we see in today's lesson, we're going to pick up with verse 11. And with verse 11, what we're going to see is not only how God deals with it, but how Moses deals with it. What we're going to see is the power of intercession. Let me take a moment to define that word. Intercession, root word, intercede. Intercede simply means to speak on behalf of another. So what we're going to see in today's lesson as we look at these 10 verses, these 11 verses rather, what we're going to see is how God wants to deal with his chosen people who are crying at his provision. But also we're going to see how Moses as a leader seeks to cover them. If you're following along with the handout, and I pray and trust you have the handout. If not, let's put those QR codes up real quick for those who are joining us virtually. You can actually obtain the handout. Let's do that real quick. If you will actually access that black QR code that you see on the left-hand side of the screen, you can actually access the handout. It is there for you. The red one on the right is for our New Testament class, which is on Thursday mornings. So we'll give you a moment or two to access that. And then we're going to dive right into the third position. Last week, we dealt with the first two. Position number one, we must be consecrated before we complain, right? Second thing we said last week was a second position of service is we've got to learn how to be bold in the face of opposition. What happens when you're the only one? Amen. What happens when you are a Caleb or a Joshua and have to stand after the 10 have turned on you and have turned the folks on you? Amen. Because remember, we talked about that last week as well. Remember, we said last week that those folks were talking about stoning Caleb and Joshua for the report that they gave. Do y'all believe sometimes folk will stone you because you start testifying of God's goodness? Amen. Amen. Folks are quick to come against you because God is favoring you. Amen. All they said was, yeah, we agree. The land is bountiful. The land is plentiful. There are grapes. What y'all see is the truth. But here's where we disagree. They say we can't. We say with God we can. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us to the land. Look real quick. This is a good setup. Go to verse 8, chapter 14, verse 8. He says, if the Lord delights in us, he will do what? Bring us into the land, and then he's going to give it to us. It's not just enough. Watch this, y'all. Here's a good shouting moment. Here's a shouting moment. It's not just enough that God's going to let you get there, but it's even better that after you get there, you don't have to worry about being supplied. He is going to take care. Isn't that what it said in verse 8? That's what it said. He's going to bring us to the land, and then he's going to give us the land. These inhabitants that they are talking about that look like giants, they're telling y'all we're going to have to fight them. Come on, let me make it live. Y'all can laugh a little bit. When last time you've been to a church conference? Amen. And get in one of those heated church conferences where folks are divided by one simple piece. Come on. Here's where we are. These teams are basically saying, we can't do it. We can't move there. This is not for us. Two said, if God be for us, it's already ours. He's going to give it to us. Now, y'all already know they were fighting. Y'all already know. The Bible lets us know that. The Bible lets us know that because the people, look at it, look at it. Verse 10, all the congregation said, stone Caleb and Joshua with stones. We need to get rid of these two. These two, they crazy. They done lost their minds.
The part that really gets me is that it should have been the other way around.
Absolutely.
Because some of them were just born at the beginning of the journey.
Mm-hmm.
And witnessed some of those miracles.
Right.
But the 8% of them had witnessed the miracle of being enslaved.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
Being brought out of slavery.
Mm-hmm.
Crossing the sea.
Right. Right. Well, twice at this point. Yeah, twice at this point. Yeah.
And so it should be 8-2 or 10-2.
Come on, y'all. See the revelation. See the revelation, because that's exactly my point. You know, you have seen everything God has done. And now you're saying we can't. Now, here's the thing that catches my attention, Butch. For a brief moment, these folk are just like us. You know why? They forgot. The God that has kept us for generations. Come on now, y'all. You're talking about over 400 years in slavery alone. And God kept them. Y'all, think about how long you've been on the earth. Think about it. Think about how long God has allowed you to live on the earth. And think about through your years of living, how he has taken care of you. You've gotten sick, he raised you back up. You got in trouble, he got you out. Your bills were bigger than your money. But somehow, you still kept a roof over your head. Come on. Still were able to eat. Come on. Think about it. You may not have had what you wanted, but you had something. I got you 100% of. That's it. If I could make it live, I could make it live. If I were to stand up here, and if I ever stand up here and say this, y'all know it's God. If I were to stand up here and tell members of St. James Baptist Church to give all of your money. Sister Trembler didn't even let me finish it. My Lord. Think about this now. Think about this. If I were to stand and tell y'all to give all your money to take care of the church, all right, somebody in the crowd is going to say, who does he think he is? You all on my paper. Lord have mercy. He ain't God. So what we're seeing here is a group of people who had enough sense not to come for God. They had enough sense not to come for him. Why? They've already seen God work, which is really why this is so confusing. Why is it that you would be disobedient to a God that has kept you while he dealt with your enemies? Come on, y'all. In your face, he kept you from the frogs, the gnats. Come on now, the lice, the ice turning fire. They saw all of this, but they never encountered it. Come on, y'all, make it live for me this morning. Make it live for me. So they witnessed it. Right. This is what this shows us. Remember, the Bible says that he will not let any evil come near our dwelling. All right. Let me go back to this particular passage of scripture to prove it again. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Remember the night of the Passover? Remember the night of the Passover when he came through to kill all of the Egyptian boys? The people of God had specific instruction. They had specific instruction. Their instruction was to find a young lamb, kill the young lamb, and take the blood from the young lamb and spread it over the doorposts, so that that night when the death angel came through and saw the blood, come on somebody, whoo, God, I felt that, the blood over the doorposts, the death angel would pass over that house, and everybody that was in that house was protected from death. Come on, y'all, catch this. Don't y'all tear this room up. Because they were covered. Can I make it live for us this morning? Can we tell God thank you for the times he covered us? I'm covered by the blood. And because I'm covered by the blood, no evil comes near my house. And they still turned on him. They heard it. Absolutely. 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 Right. 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 And they and hearing them in torment, hearing them in trouble, hearing them deal with sickness. And what do we see happening? What do we see happening? I see Sister Sharon Wright. Somebody just said it here in the sanctuary. Sister Sharon Wright just commented, it's called spiritual amnesia. How quickly do we forget when God covers us? So how do we deal with it? How does Moses deal with it? Well, let's take a look at it and see. Let's take a look and see how Moses deals with this. All right? If you're following the handout, position number 3 in the handout is simply this. We must understand that in our Christian service, thirdly, intercession changes everything. I know all of us can talk about it. I know all of us know it to be true. There is power in prayer. All right, let me try that one more time. There is power in prayer. Amen? We're going to take a look at it. Let's take a look at verses 11 through 21. Numbers chapter 14, verses 11 through 21. English Standard Version, the word of God says, and the Lord said to Moses, how long will this people despise me? And how long will they not believe in me in spite of all the signs that I have done among them? I will strike them with the pestilence and disinherit them. And I will make of you a nation greater and mightier than they. Verse 13, but Moses said to the people, then the Egyptians will hear of it. For you brought up this people in your might among them, and they will tell the inhabitants of this land. They have heard you, O Lord, are in the midst of this people. For you, O Lord, are seen face to face, and your cloud stands over them, and you go before them in a pillar of cloud by day, and in a pillar of fire by night. Verse 15, now if you kill this people as one man, then the nations who have heard your fame will say, it is because the Lord was not able to bring this people into the land that he swore to give to them that he has killed them in the wilderness. And now, please let the power of the Lord be great as you have promised, saying, the Lord is slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, forgiving iniquity and transgression, but he will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers of the children on the children to the third and fourth generation. Verse 19. Please pardon the iniquity of this people according to the greatness of your steadfast love, just as you have forgiven this people from Egypt until now. Look at what happens. Verse 20. Then the Lord said, I have pardoned according to your word. But truly as I live, as all the earth shall be filled with the glory of God. Y'all, did he not cover them again? We just saw it. Now, in these first 10 verses, we have seen everything take place. The nation of Israel has cried, they've complained, they have turned against what God promised, and then the two that stood in belief that God could do it, they now threaten to stone and kill them. So God has every right to say, I've had enough. And people of God, sometimes God will do that to us. Let me change that. He has the right to do that to us. He continues to cover us. He continues to provide for us. He continues to protect us. And what do we do? The Bible calls us a faithless and a perverse generation. Amen. The Bible says we are stiff-necked, hard-headed, hard-hearted after everything. Come on now. Come on. My Carrie, did you have your hand up? Verse 18, the Lord is slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love, forgiving iniquity and transgression, but he will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generation. Let me make it real simple. God is gracious. God is kind. God is patient. But even God has a point where his patience runs out. All right. Think about it this way. Let me see if I can simplify it. There are things that I'm dealing with because of things my parents and my grandparents did. You know, I talk about this a lot. There's a lot of times I knew my parents were sheltering me because they cared. They did, watch this, the best they could at that time. But as I began to grow into maturity and adulthood, I struggled because of. Y'all understand me? Remember I shared this piece in the message Sunday. We can have good intentions. We can have some good ideas. But if they don't align themselves with God's will for our lives, those intentions and those ideas, while they may be good, are not good for us. Amen. Now, when you think about the third and fourth generation of these folks, let's travel back a little bit. These are some of the folks who turned in the beginning Remember this. Here's a prime example. They were worshiping an image they created while Moses was on the mountain getting the law. Come on now. They had taken, we talked about this last week, they had taken the gold that they had received. Y'all follow me? The gold that Pharaoh gave them to tell them, get away from me. And what happened? They take the gold and they create their own image. They started worshiping their own image while Moses was in the mountain talking to God. And remember what happened, right? Moses comes down. And when he comes down, he sees all of this going on. Y'all remember who was the ringleader, right? Aaron was the ringleader, the one that's supposed to have been God sent to assist Moses is now the ringleader. Moses taking too long. We've seen this more than one time. So when we think about what we are looking at, why do the children suffer? Oftentimes the children suffer because of things we've done. Absolutely. Absolutely. It's almost called, y'all ever heard the expression generational curses? You've ever heard that expression? Where oftentimes we've done something and it passes down to the next generation. You know? If they see us cussing and fussing, we've given them a model. Mm-hmm. We've given them a model. And then we can't get upset with them when all they were doing was modeling us. But look at what it says again. Look again at verse 18 real closely. Real closely. And I got to pay close attention to it. Keep in mind who's speaking here. This is Moses talking to God. All right? Now go back to verse 17, and let's build up. And now, please let the power of the Lord be great as you, God, have promised. What did you promise, God? I'm going to be slow to anger. I'm going to be abounding in steadfast love. I am going to be forgiving iniquity and transgression. Even though I will not clear the guilty, I'm willing to forgive the guilty. Can I make it live? Aren't you glad that God forgives you even though you still have to pay the consequences of some of your actions? See, we have, let me say this. I got time? Yeah, I got time. We have really misinformed and mistaught people as it relates to restoration. Just because you are restored does not mean that there are not consequences for the actions that you have done. If I got $100 in my pocket and I blow that $100 when I could have taken that $100 and paid the light bill so that my lights stay on, ain't no need me getting mad at the city of Rocky Mount when they turn the lights off. Even though somebody else may come along and give me that $100. Come on now. And now that I've learned my lesson, somebody showed me grace and mercy, there's still consequences. Absolutely. They can come way down the line. They can show up later. Does it make sense? See, sometimes we got to think about the grace of God is there for us. Grace is available. But grace does not eliminate consequence. I need to say it again. Grace does not eliminate consequence. What does grace do? Grace covers me. until I learn my lesson. Amen. If I step on your foot and apologize to you for stepping on your foot, does it get rid of the pain? Absolutely. Absolutely. You're gonna get that spanking. And think about it, y'all. It was your own doing that caused you to get. I mean, think, okay, let me be comical for a moment. Y'all remember growing up as children, we all said this. We all said this. When I have children. Hello? Come on. You may as well tell the truth. I know I did. When I have children, I'm not going to raise my children the way mom and daddy raised me. Say you didn't say it. I know I did. Come on now. It was easy for me to say that when I didn't have children. Oh, but when I started having children that acted just like me, help me somebody. Bill Cosby said the curse works. Bill Cosby said his mama cursed him and said his mama said, I pray that you have children that act exactly like. You know what? Y'all not gonna get me started on that one. Because I've always said that was a big lie. You know, my daddy used to say that all the time. I'm whipping you because I love you. And I wanted to tell him so bad, hate me. Just hate me and get it over with. Amen. God does the same thing. God, whom the Lord loveth, he chastens. Thank you, God, for whipping me. Even though I still have to face the consequence. Does it make sense, beloveds? Make sense? Did I help you with that, my care? Did I help you with it? It's tough. The late Reverend Lee Ernest White used to say, it's tight, but it's right. Amen. It's rough. You know, basically Moses is saying, God, you've already revealed yourself. You've already done what you said you were going to do. Now, God, if you destroy these folk, the folks that you delivered them from are now going to use it against you. You destroyed them because he already knew they weren't going to make it to the promised land. People of God, that's why discipline is so important. Discipline helps us prepare ourselves for something we have not yet gotten to. Talk to me. Yes, sir. Can generational curses be forgiven? Great question. Great question. Let me change one word. Let me change the word forgiven to the word destroyed. Generational curses can be destroyed. It takes discipline. It takes a change in action. Y'all understand what I'm saying? Not really hitting at it too hard, but let me use this as an example. You may have one who had a child as a teenager. That daughter of that one that had a child as a teenager has a child as a teenager. All right? The child of that child may come along, have a child
as a teenager. Anybody seeing where I'm going? That is a generational curse. Can it be forgiven? It can be destroyed. It is actually, this is the best way to put it, it is forgiven through destruction. Because now here comes another out of that same bloodline that makes it out of their teenage years. Makes it out of their teenage years without having a child. At that moment, the curse is destroyed. Amen. And when that curse is destroyed, watch this, Brother Tremblay, the blessings of that destroyed curse, y'all ready for it, have the potential to revert back to the original generation. How is that? Think about the blessing. Okay, we talked about this last week. The young lady that stood, the pastor had stand up and exposed her. Okay? And I've said this since it came out. If you're going to expose her, check her mama. Check grandma. Y'all follow what I'm saying? Because we don't know where this started. And by exposing her doesn't mean that it's going to end. How does it end? It ends when we start covering God. God, help us to change this. God, help us to adjust this. Father, I pray in Jesus' name that my daughter, my granddaughter, my great-granddaughter does not make the same. Come on, somebody. See, we spend so much time trying to do it our way. We spend so much time trying to expose and trying to beat when the word of God says that it's only done through fasting and prayer. Amen. We've got to learn how to return to God. And that's exactly what Moses is saying to these people here. This is what he's saying to God. God, wait a minute. Wait a minute. I know that you are tired of them despising you. I know, God, that you are upset. Go right back with me to verse 11. The Lord's talking to Moses. At this point, he's so fed up with them folks. He ain't even talking to them. He says to Moses, how long will this people despise me? Moses, how long will they not believe in me after all the signs that I have given them? How much longer are they going to disobey my word after everything I have shown them? Y'all, I could make it live for us. How much longer are we going to walk by sight and not by faith? How much longer? How much longer are we going to get to a point that we still try to figure it out instead of letting him work it out? Is it making sense this morning? Is it making sense? He says, you know what? I'm done with them. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to strike them with pestilence. I'm going to disinherit these folks, and I'm going to make me a greater nation. Now, y'all, we laugh when we read that, but we got to remember who's talking here. One who had the ability to do it. He had the power to do it. We've seen him do it already. Come on, Noah, help me out. I'm going to wipe out creation. Start all over again. But I guess, God, keep in mind you repented yourself after you did that because you said that sin was not in your creation. Sin was in the heart of mankind. Verse 13, Moses says to the Lord, now listen, Lord, if the Egyptians hear about this, you know they're going to have a field day. This is J.T. Worthy's version. You know they're going to have a field day with this one, God. God, if you do that, they are going to remember that these are the same folk that you took from them. And you will and they will tell their inhabitants of the land that you took them from.
Guess what? The only reason why God did this is because God couldn't do what he promised he would do. All of us have somebody in our lives that's waiting for us to fall. So they can say four words. I told you so. See, sometimes prayer and intercession, God will allow us to overcome some things. Watch this, y'all. Not because of me, but because his name is on the line. See, that's the blessing of grace and mercy. Grace and mercy basically says God's name is on the line. He's got to do it because his name is on the line. Can I prove it? I can prove it in scripture. It's in the 23rd Psalm. Matter of fact, yeah, we got a minute. Let's go there real quick. I'm going to show it to you in the 23rd Psalm. Show it to you in the 23rd Psalm. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Psalm 23. Classic words, right? We've heard these. We've read these. We've studied these. Right? The Lord is my, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness. It's those next few words. For his name's sake. In other words, he lets me lie down in green pastures for his name's sake. He leads me beside still waters for his name's sake. He restores my soul for his name's sake. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his, in other words, I don't deserve it, but his name is on the line. Amen. There are some blessings that some of us have received all because his name is on the line. Amen. I am who I am because his name was on the line. Let me give you another example, and time is getting away. Let me give you another example. Come here, Hezekiah. Mm-hmm. The Bible says Hezekiah was sick unto death. Hezekiah had what we would call a terminal disease. The prophet came to him and said what? Set your house in order. You're going to die. You are not going to live. Now, you know, if we were Hezekiah, y'all already know what we would be doing. We'd be somewhere crumbling, falling apart, our emotions all over the place. But what ended up happening? The Bible says he turned his face to the wall and he prayed. It's the words of Hezekiah's prayer that really catch us here. Lord, remember. Remember what I have done. Remember how I served you in truth. Remember how I did everything in honor and respect of you, God. And then he starts crying, not realizing that while he was crying, God was working. The same prophet, come on now, that was sent to tell him he was going to die. The Bible says God stopped him in the middle court, told him, turn around, go back, tell Hezekiah, I heard his prayer. Tell him, I saw his tears. Tell him, I'm going to heal him. Tell him I'm going to add 15 years. Now, the thing that really gets me about that is that isn't it amazing that the same one that brought you the bad news, God will use them to say it's already been turned around. Is it making sense? This is what we're seeing with Moses. Moses here is begging God, please, God, for the sake of the people, for the sake of your name, don't take them out now. I know you're tired of them. You know, if I could talk if I could talk as if I was talking to some parents, that's your child. I know they get on your nerves. I know they drive you crazy. I know sometimes you want to choke them, but they're still your babies. You can't give up on them now. And people of God, that's what God did for the nation of Israel. And I think it's a good time for me to close and tell us that's the same thing he does for us each and every day. Generationally, we have messed up. Generationally, I'm paying for sins of my fathers and my grandfather. Hello. But he didn't take me out because of their sin. Amen. He gives me a chance to see the curse reversed, destroyed, and broken. And what do we see? What do we see? There are four things I want to show us, and then I'm going to let us go. Verse 19, he pardons it. He says, please pardon the iniquity of this people according to the greatness of your steadfast love, just as you forgave this people from Egypt until now. In other words, God, you got a track record of how you have forgiven them. People of God, he's got a track record for every time he's forgiven us. So what does God do, y'all? It's right there in verse 20. The Lord said, I have pardoned according to your word. Yes, sir. Absolutely. 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 And even in this moment of prayer or intercession, he basically shows us, okay, we've been doing it wrong, y'all. Amen. It don't get no plainer than this. Let me show it to you. Let me show you four things that Moses shows us and really sort of ties into what Butch is saying about this blueprint for how to pray after we mess up, how to pray for others when they mess up. Amen. God, help me extend the same grace to others that I would want extended to me. Four things, and I'm closing. Four things. First thing, intercession positions us to hear from God. Remember, we left off, Moses was praying. And the Lord says to Moses, how much longer? It provides us a moment for God to speak. In verses 11 and 12, God spoke. And what did God say? God said, I'm sick and tired of these folk. I've had enough of them. I'm going to destroy them. I'm going to get rid of them. I'm going to disown them and make me another nation. Is it not there? And Moses prays. Third thing, intercession prevents judgment when it is shared with repentance. When we confess our sins, the Bible says he is faithful and just to not only forgive us our sin, but he will also cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God not only gives you another chance, he wipes the slate clean so that you can have a clean slate to start with. And then fourth and finally, intercession opens the door to God's patience and God's mercy. Where do we see mercy here? We see mercy after Moses prayed. Moses said, look, God, if you do this, it's going to affect your name. Now, have we seen this before? Yeah, we have. We're going to see it a few more times. throughout the pages of the Bible, particularly with the nation of Israel. But I close by sharing with you, I pray you see it even in your own life. The times that God has covered you. The times where he gave you what you needed instead of what you deserved. Intercession changes. Moses' prayer to God changed everything for the nation of Israel. Why? They were just about to be wiped out. And I close today by just simply asking us to think about it. Think about the times when we could have been wiped out. Yes, sir. That's it. But you know what I find so amazing, particularly with California Day, I have seen, and I don't know if any of you all have seen it, somehow God takes tragedy to bring people back to his attention. The Bible says that there will come a day when every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord. Now, I would not wish what's happening on California to anybody. But if it brings us back to a fact that without him, we are nothing. Come on, y'all. Come on. Let's bring it back to every time a hurricane or a tornado has hit this region. It has brought us to a place where we will get real with God, if only for a moment. Amen. Now, once things start coming back together, what do? We fall right back into our old ways. And you know what God has to do? He's got to repeat the lesson. Amen. Amen. Yes, ma'am. How long? Well, here's the thing that he said. Here's the word, y'all. He said, the day will come when you'll look for me, you won't find me. He said, the day will come, you'll call my name, I won't even answer. The day will come, beloveds, that repentance will run out. It's in scripture. It's in the book where God will continue to show us grace and mercy and understanding. But there comes a point, y'all, where God will say, my hands are off. You will not listen. Thank you, Holy Spirit. The Tower of Babel. Y'all remember that? They were trying to build that tower. And God had said from the beginning, and they kept trying. See, sometimes, let me say it this way. God will show you if it's his will. Oh, yes, he will. When God allows you to do things, help me, Holy Spirit, and then he provides for you while you're doing it, you're right in line with his will. But it's when you step to the left that he actually shows that too. They're trying to build this tower. They were trying to get it done. Y'all remember what happened, right? While they were building, they asked God, shall we knock them off the tower? What you going to do? You going to deal with it? He said, I'm not going to do that. All I'm going to do is confuse the language. Right. Right. And can you imagine? I mean, let's paint that picture as we close. Can y'all imagine them trying to build that tower and I keep asking for bricks and you keep bringing me cement? Come on now. I'm asking you to bring this, you bringing that. All you kept hearing was, "What are you doing? Why do you keep doing that?" What did it set it up for? A mess. Confusion. And the word of God has already told us that God is not the author. Amen. Amen. I'm going to stop right there. Time is up. Time is up. Time is up. Time is up. To those of you who are joining us via live stream, if you've got any questions, that you please take a moment to drop those questions in the comment section now. We certainly would appreciate it as we prepare to wrap up and bring the closure. I tell you, this 14th chapter of Numbers, I told you all last week, this was going to be the chapter, because we can see so much of ourselves in Numbers chapter 14. All right. By the way of announcements, quick few announcements, few reminders as we get ready to go. Don't forget, we'll be back tonight at 7 o'clock discussing the same passage of scripture. Looking forward to being with the class tonight. Tomorrow from 12 until 1, please do not forget our hour of power prayer time via the telephone conference line. Tomorrow evening, 6 p.m., the Brotherhood brothers are meeting tomorrow at 6. Male chorus is rehearsing tomorrow at 7. Thursday, of course, is a New Testament Bible study. And so, of course, we look forward to diving in and continuing our walk through the book of Romans as well. Let's continue to pray one for another, pray for all of our sick, all of our shut-in, all of those families whose hearts are saddened in bereavement. Let's continue to keep them in our thoughts and in our prayers. Let's get ready to close today with a word of prayer. We thank God for all of you. So glad to see all of you here. And equally, those of you who've joined us via live stream, we thank God for you as well. Let's close in prayer, shall we? Father, in Jesus' name, we say thank you. Thank you for this time of walking through your word, gaining knowledge and understanding of your word. Thank you, God, that your word has life. Your word has power. And God, we tell you thank you for the blueprint, as it has been called today, of how to pray when we mess up, when we do wrong, when we fall short. Father, I pray now that you would continue to grant us grace, continue to grant us mercy, show us your will, your way, according to your word. Keep us and we'll be kept. Bless us and we'll be blessed, as we want to be found giving your name the praise, the glory, and all of the honor. This is our prayer. We offer it now in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen, amen, and amen. Beloveds, y'all have a wonderful afternoon. Be blessed. Take care of yourselves. We look to see you throughout the course of the week. Be blessed.